Hi, everyone. Russ Thomas here from RST Coaching Academy. Welcome to a new episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. Hey, everybody there in internet land. This is Russ here again from RST Coaching Academy, Money Talks founder and host of. And we have another program here for you. I have a new friend that I want to interview from Kansas City, Kansas. He's been in the landscaping business since 2007, even I think when he was in high school. So he's going back a few years and that got some experience. Probably some highs and lows he can talk to us about and some tips he can pass on business in general. So I just want to welcome you folks onto the program today. And Ben, I welcome you. Glad to have you with me today with us. And I'm going to turn this loose to you and tell us your story. Tell us way back in 2007, how you got going into this and what you've been up to and where you see yourself going. All right. So take it away, Ben.
No, thanks, Rush. I appreciate that. I was a high school teacher in 2000 and just kind of struggling on the financial side. And what am I supposed to do? You know, got kids being born and, you know, we have obligations. And so I just kind of took it upon myself because of a teacher's schedule that there are avenues to make money. Mm-hmm. And if I wanted to just keep teaching, I needed to make more money. And so, I actually started working in the inner city in Kansas City, picking up, working with a charity to help old poor people who couldn't afford cutting. The charity paid me. And I kind of just ad hoc did that. And I'm like, well, I lived in a different area in more of the suburbs and people have grass there too. And it grows and they're willing to pay money.
Right.
So I just saw an opportunity. I actually didn't even know how to string up a weed eater when I started this business. I mean, I'm not a mechanical guy. But people are willing to pay for it. So I kind of figured things out and learned as I went. And I was able to keep doing that as a teacher until 2014. Wow. And I then made a decision because of the explosiveness of the lawn business to just go with that full time.
Was that your first foray into the business world?
Honestly, yes. I mean, I don't count teaching as being in the business world. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a crucial job, but that's different. And, you know, anything else I did was, you know, waiting tables in college and, you know, little things like that. So, I mean, sure, but this was a whole new adventure. And obviously, you know, hiring folks and managing it. Yes. So I'm going to say yes to that question for
okay.
sure.
All right. Well, that's exciting. You know, now you're an entrepreneur. For better or worse, just like me. Yeah.
Right. Indeed. Right.
So what did you teach?
I taught American government and law and, you know, some different history classes, but mostly government and law were always where they kind of pegged me.
In high school, evidently, high school, or what?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. 9 through 12. Yep. Yeah. Did that for 14 years.
What exciting subject matter these days, right?
Man, I know my first year teaching was, you know, the election, Gore Bush, and that was interesting. And then you got 9/11 the next year. So my first couple of years, we had some events to talk about, most definitely.
No doubt about it.
Seems like a long time ago.
Continue on with your story, if you would.
Yeah. So basically, I'm running the lawn business. I have high school kids and former graduates helping me run the business. So they would actually pick up my equipment while I was teaching, do work. So I'm kind of managing that, working in that, depending on what time of year it is. You know, because people that want you to do the lawn stuff need you to do it all year, not just in the summer months when teachers have more free time. So I'm kind of figuring out how to do that. And probably build it up to about 60 to 80 yards while I was also teaching. But I just kept getting asked for so many things. And so I left teaching. My kids are getting older. I left teaching in 2014 and ramped it up to about 200 plus properties that I was doing.
And then I also then started another business, which was a youth sports organization in Kansas City called More Than Athletes. My heart is really with kid. I love the business of the launch. My heart was with kids and wanting to impact them. And I had a vehicle through basketball. My kids love basketball, and so I kind of used that to kind of further a more altruistic side of my personality and wanting to kind of give back. And
I
so I
see.
started that. Yeah.
And that had become or has become a business in itself.
Yeah. So actually, from a value standpoint, it was probably even worth. Now I don't do that anymore. There was, it needed to be, it was almost, it wasn't, it was paid, but it wasn't, I gave a lot of that stuff back because I was really working trying to help inner city kids have more opportunities in basketball. And I had suburban kids who were paying fees to play on basketball. So I worked it out to really invoke a faith element, a community service element, an education piece, helping with reading and just requirements of the educational side of the organization. But ultimately, it was me volunteering a lot of time to make it go. So I had to pull the plug on that in about 2020. It was just, I just, it wasn't, I didn't, I would need someone to say, here's a check, go do this. And I could have, but I didn't have that. So I had to, and meanwhile, I'm still running the lawn business and doing all that stuff as well. It was a lot,
So
to say the least.
the sports thing, although it was really closest to your heart, it was not a moneymaker. It wasn't intended to be a moneymaker, correct?
Correct.
More
Correct.
of a ministry and a
Yeah.
service to the community, to the local kids and that. You mentioned faith thing. So was this part with churches and stuff or what?
Well, we did have a church that would allow me to use their gym for really discounted rates because they knew what I was doing. And they allowed me to use their stage because I would do presentations for families on a variety of topics. So we might talk to 15-year-olds about relationships, or we might bring all the parents and kids in, and I would talk to them about parent-kid relationships and where it can go right or wrong. So it kind of took the teaching side of my personality, and because I was in charge, I was able to do that in that organization as well.
Right. Yeah.
And I
And
loved it. I mean, I loved it, but
talk about what you wanted to talk about too.
exactly.
And
Yeah.
obviously you had an audience.
Yes.
With the kids and then the families, how many did you end up child kids did you end up serving?
Oh man, it was a year-long organization, but I mean, kids could come in and out because some kids only play basketball in the winter. But we would at any given time have 20 to 40 teams going. We had paid coaches, and so you're talking anywhere from maybe 150 upwards to 300 plus kids that were playing basketball with us each month.
Wow, we and you did 20 to 40 teams. So
Yeah, I
this was
mean,
like an intramural program, basically, just apart from the school system.
correct, apart from the school system, so people would sign up to play on our More Than Athletes teams, and then we had coaches, and then we would and enter them into tournaments or enter them into league play, and we would set up a practice schedule. We'd have skills night, so there was a lot of things going on to help the kids become better at basketball. And then my job was to bring in the life components and
Right.
really, yeah, that's why I
Yeah.
called it More Than Athletes.
Yeah. Well, I think that's really awesome. Yeah, athletics is a great place for athletics in school, but what becomes after school, and even those that should go on to college, and some of them will become professionals, perhaps. But
Right.
what about the rest of them? And so they got to live too. And so I think you're doing a great thing for the
Yeah, well.
community and for those kids and the families. At that whole time, it's really interesting because did you wake up one day and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this, this, and this. In other words, have a plan of attack and what your goals were and stuff, or did you just kind of do one thing at a time and almost fall into the next phase?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I have always coached my kids, and I would always have one team and it would become two, three, or four. And there was a businessman in Kansas City who I had coached his son, and he basically approached me and he said, "I can help you explode this. If you're the face, if you do your thing, you're always going to be like two, three, four teams. It's all you can do, but allow me to come in and show you what I can do." And I did, and we became very good friends. And so for this time, he did all the behind the scenes stuff. He did a lot of recruiting, helped kind of advertise it. We both found coaches because I couldn't coach all the kids, obviously. And so, it was almost like I was discovered. And then I said yes and went with it because I could see what he would bring to the table, and it worked well.
Awesome. That so you knew your strength and probably realized your weaknesses,
Yes.
what you lacked,
Yes, I
expertise
definitely.
in. This fella comes along. This must have been almost like out of the blue as well. I mean, you weren't looking for anybody, perhaps,
No, he
and
was
he
just a
approached
dad.
you,
Yeah,
and then
right.
you literally partnered with him.
Correct.
And so
Exactly.
that was a great partnership because he had the experience and the wherewithal in the areas that you were lacking,
And
and
vice,
so
yeah, a
and
hundred
so
percent. And
I think that is
we're both
cool.
motivated.
Yeah,
Yes.
that is cool. It's
Yes.
hard, and maybe you experience this in your landscaping business. It's hard for one person to do everything.
Oh, I.
You can do all the thinking and planning and dreaming and scheming and stuff, but it takes time and effort and energy and experience, knowledge and so on, how to do all that, how to implement all these things. So there comes a time when you need every other people. So back to your landscaping then, you were the prime grass cutter and so on there for a
Right.
while. And was there a point then that you had to hire kind of like a business manager or somebody on to run the back end for you, like this fellow did with the sports thing?
Well, I probably should have, but I never actually. I ultimately have handled that aspect myself, always, but there's been times where I have like informally hired a family member to help me with invoicing. There's different things that would get backed up. And so I have a better grip on it now, just but I have not. I have handled all of that and then, recruited and found employees, which ironically, my teaching career has led to probably two-thirds of the people who've worked for me. So that was a really nice network because the kids liked me. Even now, I'm still coaching my youngest son's basketball, and these high school kids will say, "Hey, can I work for you?" Whatever. So even today, as we speak, my employees are out there working, but then I'll take the night shift. I'll take a couple high school kids, and then we'll go out and knock out some stuff, and then I can mentor them and teach them things and help them as well. So they're just you have to be creative with how you get things done, and you have to kind of be willing to open your mind to what opportunities are out there to make it all work.
I think
And that's
that's
a,
very important. Yeah,
yeah.
you can't be just tunnel vision. Being the entrepreneur, the owner, you've got to have the wide vision,
You really do. And I see a lot of people, even in the lawn industry, that don't. They get very, not that they don't do great jobs. There's a lot of great, but you just have to always keep yourself open to other ways of doing business to make it work. Because sometimes people can limit themselves so much by hardened principles that might be good, but they're shortchanging themselves at some time. You have to just keep
Yeah.
thinking.
I thought this for many years, that just because a person, a guy is a great mechanic, car mechanic, doesn't mean he's going to be successful owning and operating a garage, a service garage,
Right.
because fixing the car is a whole different animal. Cutting the grass is a whole different animal than running the business. And
Right.
obviously businesses fail for lack of sales. If you don't have money, if you don't have sales coming in, you really don't have a business. But another big reason for that is the fact that the owner doesn't know what to do, doesn't know how to do it, doesn't know how to generate sales and so on, doesn't know what he's doing, or is doing stuff in a foolish manner. So, I mean, kudos to you that you knew these things and you had the sense to work around and through stuff. Where did you learn all this stuff? I mean, from teaching government and history and that, it's a whole different world than
Right.
owning and operating a business. Where'd you get schooled on the ins and outs of business ownership?
I think that I was probably in some level blessed on the communication side and just relating and talking with people. I actually think it's probably my best trait in business is just that simply I can have real conversations. We can People trust me. I maybe having coached, I mean, honestly, even before I started More Than Athletes, I started coaching kids in 1994. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. And so I think, when you're dealing with kids and parents and all those expectations, you have to be able to communicate and you have to have a way about you that a parent trusts you. So it easily translated into the lawn side. The lawn side then became easy. Dealing with parents and kids and youth sports for and competitive youth sports for almost now 30 years, I've seen it all in that. That and so the lawn, helping people understand what they need with their lawn and landscape and whatnot, and even just dealing with employees, because that's also crucial. And it's just the communication side. It's people like you, people trust you, people. And you're a good communicator. I think that's been my biggest just plus. I didn't know it was going to translate to all this, that it just happened because I was driven to it, I guess.
Did you I think you said that you ended up with 200 plus accounts, yards.
Yeah.
Did you ever dream that it was gonna, or did you set a goal for it to become that large, or did it just kind of fall on your lap?
I just kept saying yes. People ask me, yes. And that's the other, some people like on the, in the lawn side, they're like, no, they have to pay this amount and it has to be, I have to cut every Wednesday, no matter what. And I go to my customers, if I was going to mow your, I was like, well, what do you look for us? And then you'd say, well, it doesn't grow much here. And but I like it cut twice a week this week. And like, okay, whatever you want, I'll do it. And that's just been my mentality. I'm going to do what you want, because you're paying me money to do it. And I, but I, again, I didn't even know how to string a weed eater up when I started this. I really didn't. I mean, I did mixing gas seemed bad. Like I'm not mechanical, but I was given a small opportunity by my wife's uncle, and I just kind of ran with it and kind of figured things out as I went. And
Right.
it's been pretty well.
Well, was there in that startup period, was there some intimidation that kept you up at night wondering, oh, how do I do this? How do I string
Well,
this weed eater?
the good part about how I started was it was through a charity for, like, imagine like 90-year-old women with their grass up to their hip, and they're just thankful for me to be there. And it was a free service. The charity gave me a little money for it, but it was, so I was the hero when I showed up. And I'm out there with my little push mower and my pickup truck, and they're just like, thank you, the city's now off my back, thank you so much. And so, one lady would offer me squash or things from her garden, or like, it's a, I'd accept it. But I was a hero. Now when I moved over to the suburban side, I needed to know what I was doing, but I got
Yeah.
enough practice in that where
Right.
I figured it out in that setup, which I think was a huge benefit to me. I
Yeah,
don't know if I
well.
could have pulled it off if I didn't have that, honestly.
I bet so. So those ladies, they didn't know that you didn't know what you were doing.
No, they were just
They
happy
were
as heck
just
I was
thankful
there.
that you were
Very
there.
thankful.
And
Some of the
so it was an on-the-job learning experience, but there was no threat,
No,
no
right.
intimidation really, because
No.
there it was just,
I was
hey,
say I
you're
was saving the
here.
day. Yeah,
Oh, that's
well,
funny.
they're so happy and so
Oh,
thankful.
man.
Yeah, it was
And
really nice.
so,
Yeah.
and then you said, I'm going to do a business out of this, huh?
Yeah, I was like, well, why not? And I kind of, I back then I put an ad on Craigslist, believe it or not,
Huh.
And I still have even some of my very first people. They're still my customers today. There's like three or four that I found on Craigslist that I still help them today. I joke about it. I'm like, yeah, I didn't even know what I was doing back then. They're like, we didn't care. They're also just happy to get their grass cut. And now I've grown it into, doing a number of things. I know enough of what I'm doing, to
Okay. I was going to ask you how you marketed your services once you said, I'm going to do this. This is going to be a business. Well, Craigslist was one. Any other particular avenue?
I definitely referrals are always best. And when I was teaching, I would actually send an email out to the staff and they would, oh, my mom needs it cut. Or I'd make a post on Facebook and, people would reply there. So again, because I've coached so many kids and families and I have the social media connections with them,
Yeah.
I can put something out there and, find stuff. And then that adds and it just kind of grew that I just grew that way.
Well, that was awesome because because of your years in education world, you had a customer list basically because of all the
Correct.
people and lives that you had touched throughout the years, people that got to know you and most of them loved you, maybe a few hated you, but most of them loved you. And so when you hung out your shingle to do the landscape, to do the artwork, it was like, hey, we know this guy, we can trust this guy. So that customer list is invaluable, isn't it?
Oh my goodness. And when I had run More Than Athletes, we had acquired, 10,000 plus emails throughout the years of families all across, Kansas and Missouri. And
Wow.
so, currently starting up I coach men also. So currently starting another businesses, coaching men, my podcast and speaking. I have another group that here's your monthly. Now I just turn that into a monthly newsletter of what I'm doing. And so those connections have been super valuable in how I've, continued to the directions I want to go with my life and just kind of keeping people up to date on
Yeah.
that.
I was going to ask you if you miss teaching, but you are still teaching. So
Yeah, I loved
you're
teaching.
still in that business of teaching. You're just not doing it at the school level and for group tech and stuff.
No, you're right. And for a while, I wondered if the lawn business was going to be enough for me, like personally. And ultimately, it definitely paid the bills and does really well. But the other types of teaching, men, children, just all the different things I'm still working on, even just through my podcast, is it does bring fulfillment for sure.
That's awesome. Really great. Now, did you say that you sold the landscape business in 2014?
No,
Oh.
so almost. So I had been approached last year. I'm kind of under a plan to sell it at the end of 2024.
Okay.
So we have kind of an arrangement where I'm teaching a couple of guys how to run a lawn company because they have a lot of commercial connections in Kansas City. And then mine was commercial, but I would say 80% residential, 20% commercial. So I'm basically like teaching the employees, the owners, and we've grown a lot, obviously, because we're kind of two companies working in one, and then they will officially buy me out after this 2024 mowing season, basically.
And why extend the closing so far down the line? I mean, until the last signature is written and the money is in your hands, there's still something that could blow the deal. So why usually you want to close ASAP. So what's the reason, if you can explain,
No problem.
for the length of time and, for waiting so long?
Their purposes, they actually didn't really care about my customers don't know this yet, but they didn't really care about my customer base as much because they weren't wanting to go heavy into residential. They want to stay in commercial. Their purposes are more for hiring my expertise and to train them on how to do it and
No
then
kidding.
get all of my equipment, trucks, trailers, mowers, all that stuff. So it was kind of part of our agreement. We have a They pay me a percentage of their profit shares last year and this year, and then we have a buyout. So, but it was really because they needed my services
I
more than they
see.
even needed my customers.
Interesting. So theoretically, and maybe there's a non-compete clause in this agreement, I would imagine. So theoretically, other than that, you could literally sell that customer list to somebody else or start up another business, but you're not going to be doing that because you wanted to get out of that whole thing. Right? Correct? Since they're not interested in it.
We're still that'll be interesting how that we're gonna have some really open, honest conversations. There's gonna be a non-compete, but at the same time, I have a couple employees that have worked for me for a long time. I mean, since they were in high school, now they're in their mid and upper 20s. So we may have a creative way to keep, I want to keep my customers happy, and I may we're gonna work through basically my customer list is theirs, so they can do with it what they can turn around and sell it. I couldn't. They can do whatever they want, but I may try to find a creative way to help a couple of my employees kind of be take over,
I
perhaps,
see.
and make even more money. And so we're it'll be interesting how it actually all looks. I still may have my hands in it a little bit. We'll see. But that remains to be seen. I don't know, because I know probably 2/3 of my customers they're not going to want to mess with. So I'm not going to just, I don't want to just lose that either. So we'll see. We'll see how it all actually works out, when
Wow.
it's all
Yeah,
said and done.
if the new owners don't care, then what do they care what you do with this? I mean, you don't want to leave them high and dry because knowing you as I do in this short time, you're really committed to them and feel an obligation to continue to serve them however you can. So
No,
that's very
definitely.
admirable, but it also puts you in, okay, I need to make a decision how we're going to make this work. If they want to continue on with Ben or with your employees. Now you mentioned two kids that are in their 20s now. Are these full-time employees?
They started with me, probably, in that 2015, 16. They've been with me for a while. I think back then they probably made, back then it was like $10, $12 an hour wasn't bad. And now they have, one of them, kids and a whole life, and they've grown up through this. And so I also have not really just an obligation, but a desire so they can support their families and do different things. And the three of us, when I sell the business, I'm taking them to Vegas for just a trip with us, and just they're like, I couldn't have done it without them. And they've been loyal, and they're almost like best friends almost. I mean, when you drive around a truck every single day, you get to know people pretty well. And so I want to take care of them, and we'll see, how it all looks next year. But they're good guys, and I've had a lot of other employees. My kids have worked for me. They're friends. I mean, but those have been the two. They're the loyal, like, full-time folks that have been with me the whole time.
Right. Other, you know, there's nothing like a key employee. It's like money in the bank, you know, because it's gonna come to that. It's gonna come to money in the bank. Did either of these guys ever express an interest in buying you out?
No, the things that we've talked about more would be to try to create a separate division, like say hardscaping, like building retaining walls, or where I would basically get the customers the product, and then, I may get a just a small percentage and let them really almost be their own, kind of like a step between a business owner and employee, like let them manage it, run it, bid it, make a lot of money at it. So I keep dangling that in front of them, and one of the guys is very content with what he's doing. He's in his lane and he knows it. The other guy, we'll see. He has the capability. It's just, will he take that step or not? But they never got to the idea of buying me out.
I see. Okay. Yeah. It's funny when I graduated from college in 1970, 3 years later, I bought my first business. It was a gas station in Madison, Wisconsin, where I lived at the time, my hometown. And I hadn't really thought about business until then, but I was so frustrated with my career opportunities that I ended up doing that, and it became an addiction. Business became an addiction for me, and so I have a degree in business management, but it wasn't anything to do with owning and operating a business. It was, college or school is all geared to so you can get a good job. Well, I've had enough of good jobs. And so if either of these guys got a taste of, the ownership part of it, the management, the control of it, it might create an addiction in them too,
No, I know, and I've definitely put those teasers out because, they could help me, I can elevate their pay and where they can make really good money and grow another wing of the business. So it's just me kind of expanding what I can do through them, but they've yeah, they haven't taken the bait yet, but we'll see. I think in 2025 some things are going to be, with all everything going on, I have a feeling there could be some good things their way as
I bet.
if
But
they
in the
choose.
meantime, you've got to be careful, probably, of what you might try to branch off into or whatever, because of conflicting with the sale of the business and this, non-compete situation too,
Well, I agree, and I think that if I completely walk away, so if like working on the book that I'm working on and coaching men and their relationships and being a dad, and if that stuff takes off in 2024, because I'm actually going to be working on that the same time I'm managing these lawn companies, so this is going to be a hectic year. I can then walk away from grass and say I did my thing, I'm good. But if this stuff, if I need supplemental income, then I may dip back into that and say, okay, I could use. So this is a trial year from a business sense. I'm going to be wearing two hats all year.
Oh yeah. And they're really totally unrelated businesses, aren't they?
No, I
Very
know.
unrelated,
Yeah,
Business
totally.
is business is business, principles are principles, but the details are significantly different.
Definitely. No, they, yeah, for
Now
sure.
you guys in Kansas City, Kansas, you guys get winter, you get snow, don't you?
Yeah, we do. It's one of those things where maybe one out of 3 or 4 years it's really good financially, and then you have other years where it's like 5 times you get an inch, or you get a lot of ice because we're always in that freezing, non-freezing range. And this year January was like one of the coldest ever, and we did get some snow, we had some work, but then in February we were 50s and 60s with no snow, which that's unusual. So we were warmer in February, colder in January. The bottom line is it's an un snow removal is an unpredictable business, and you have to be ready for the worst, which is an investment.
And that's part of your business was the snow
Yeah,
removal
we do
for
that
the
as well.
wintertime. So you didn't
Correct.
close your doors. Did you have anything else? Do you have anything else going on in the wintertime?
Personally, no, just outside of, I went to a couple conferences and spoke. Like I said, I do public speaking, so I worked a lot of my book, which is going to come out later this summer. So it was more of those things. I needed those 2 months to work. That wasn't, that revenue generation will hopefully happen down the road. So I'm just relying on the money I make from the lawn business of 10 months. It's a 10-month business in Kansas City,
I see.
unless we get some snow. The snow could help in those bad 2 months, but if you don't get snow, you're not making money.
Then you're laid off essentially.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, we can start winding down here a little bit, but I always like to ask my guests for them to give advice to someone who is watching or listening and is contemplating doing something that you have done, whether it's landscaping or whatever, the sports, the athletic thing or whatever, but breaking away from what they've been doing, what they've been used to, and trying something totally new. So, do you have any advice that you could offer up to such a
Yeah.
person?
Yeah, no, great question. I would say that the thing that has served me best and my advice and what I've seen hangs people up is you have to be committed to little daily steps. And we have a big vision or a big goal and it seems unattainable. And I don't know if I'm going to succeed and I don't know if I can do that. And all of those things make us go a day, a week, a month with no progress. And eventually you just give it up. And so you may have to reduce Netflix a little bit. You may have to reduce some of your social stuff, but you have to be committed to little. It doesn't matter how small it is. If I'm going to write a book, I'm going to write one sentence every day. Then fine, write one sentence every day. It doesn't matter what, but you have to be consistent with the progress and don't beat yourself up over you're going to go through those feelings where, my goodness, I haven't made any headway here and I feel overwhelmed. Little steps, just keep doing little steps, and it'll come together. The website will get finished, and you'll understand how to get clients, and you'll learn along the way. But you have to be committed to that, or it may not work for you.
That is beautiful, excellent advice. You're committed to the big picture. You're committed to your end game, to your goal,
Right.
but know how to break it down into bite-sized pieces and to
Exactly.
steps to get
Yes.
them. Otherwise, we'd get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
How am I ever going to do this? Well, you're going to, what do they say? Well, a step, trip around the world starts with one step, or the way you eat an elephant is one bite at a time. So that it's that
Yeah.
kind of the same mentality of just little bit, inch by
Right.
inch. And it's a cinch. There's all sorts of little cliches we can use, but that is excellent advice. Anything else comes to mind?
Yeah, the thing that really, I talk to men a lot of times and like thinking about your life from your funeral backwards, and start at the end. What do you want them talking about at your funeral? What did you leave? And so when I think in that way, I think, look, I would much rather fail at this business to make no money to whatever, but know I put everything into it. On my deathbed, I'll be happy with that. But what I won't be happy with is I didn't try or I quit or I gave up or I had a lot of self-doubt and didn't think I could do it. So just the living backwards mentality is something that I really believe in, and it keeps me going too. And just okay, that way even the fails aren't fails because I know I'm doing everything that I can,
Yeah.
and I can't control everything, so but you have to keep plugging away, so
Well,
that's
I've often said that there's really two steps to success. Number one is get started, and number two is don't quit. And if we don't quit what we're doing, eventually we will succeed. And it's just how it works out. But a plan definitely helps. If we're just
Yes.
We're
Yeah,
just
no.
bouncing around and not knowing what we're doing.
For sure.
Did you have? I know in this athletic thing, you've had somebody come along and help you, kind of a coach and a mentor, basically, and help you with that. Have you had anybody that you could bounce ideas off and that served as a coach or a mentor for you in the landscape business?
Not necessarily. So I've always had that, like you, kind of an entrepreneur's mind. So I've had a couple of really good buddies who are also business owners and other industries. And we do a lot of those get together for drinks, coffee, lunch, and just brainstorm ideas and just sit there and just and so it's enjoyable that that's because I always I have t I mean I have a couple I have a I would have what I would say is a multi-million dollar idea, but I, with a little bit of land, it would be genius. So I have ideas and, sometimes need the connection. I don't know, so sometimes you can get stuck in a great idea and how do you get it there? But, I've made some things work, but I still feel there's other things I can do with the right, whether it's an investor, whether it's, talking to the right people. But I definitely do have other ideas as well. And I
That's
enjoy
cool.
those
You
conversations.
so you're not done thinking and planning and dreaming, right?
No,
It's
I'm
like
just.
when a person stops doing that, they just wait a few years till their body catches up with their mind, and then they get married,
Yes.
because they have died. They basically died internally, mentally. Would you say that these friends, these guys that you've hung out with and bounced stuff off, have they been like an inspiration? Have they helped you head in the right direction?
Yeah, I think that yeah, I would say so. It's a very like as men, we were friends through our family connections and other ways, and we just happen to all be business owners. And so they've definitely given me food for thought and ideas as we've all gone in our own entrepreneurial, if I can say the word correctly, directions.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so yeah, they've been of help, but mostly in just brainstorming sessions and what they're doing. We talk a lot about our families too, and we talk about all kinds of things. So yeah.
That's great. When in my experience, and this is just passing on to you, but it's also for the audience as well. In my 50 years of owning and operating some 15 or 20 different businesses, I've enjoyed being in business for myself, but I'd also been by myself. I did not have anybody like you have had access to really bounce things off and brainstorm and
Right.
serve me as a coach or a mentor until I got involved with Grant Cardone in his business coaching program, of which I became a licensee, a year and a half ago, and now can actually sell his services, through me, licensed through from him to other individuals. So people, folks out there that you got an idea, you want to go someplace, you've got a dream and a plan, you need somebody to help you guide you along the way, like Ben had.
Right.
And that's where I come in to
Yeah.
help you with training, to help you with coaching and mentoring and stuff. And so it's like no man's an island. We all need help along the way, and not everybody is blessed like Ben to have access to fellow business owners that can give him information. I did not have that. And so through what I've acquired now in the last half year and a half, it gives me not only helping me, but gives
Right.
me the ability to help others as well. So this has really been good. I appreciated you telling us
Yeah.
about your walk and your conquests and some of the challenges that you faced,
Yeah.
and what's on the horizon for Ben's landscaping and the end of this year and moving forward. Who the heck knows where that's all gonna go?
Yeah, I've got a Ben Keach Speaks is my website. I've actually gone through Grant's program or some of Grant's programs and Pete Vargas and them. So that would be another whole little conversation. I've learned a lot on the business side of speaking and getting on stages, just so I'm a big believer in that and what they're doing to help people as well.
Well, I'm glad you're saying that. I'm involved in the 10X Stages program, the Stages on Demand, and so working on my signature talk and all this and that. And
Yeah.
so
Yeah.
we've got definitely a mutual
Yep.
camaraderie, you and me, in that realm as well, and how important that is to an aspiring business person, male or
For
female.
sure.
Young or
Yes.
old, we all need help. We all need help. So, any last thoughts before we close this out for the day?
No, I appreciate it. This is great. It's taken me down memory lane, so it's fun kind of thinking through all the places I've been and hopefully where I'm going. So I
Right.
enjoyed the time for
Well,
sure.
good. It's dangerous to spend too much time dwelling on the past, especially the
Yep.
failures. We always want to keep looking forward, but obviously our past has brought us to where we are today, and then we want to move forward, and I see you doing that. That's really great. So anyway, okay, folks, well, this has been it. This has been very interesting talking with Ben Keach from Kansas City, Missouri. from the landscaping profession to more than athletics profession now, and what he's doing and writing the book and all that he's up to. So thanks so much for tuning in, Ben. Thanks for being on the program today.
You
And
bet.
folks, we will say goodbye for now, and we will see you next time. Money episode, another episode of Money Talks. Until then, over and out. Okay, take care. Bye bye.
Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com, call 386-286-2450, or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.